Before we begin, I do want to give a shout out to all of our patrons for supporting our podcast. If you want to see the continued production of this podcast, do consider becoming a patron by following the link in our description or by visiting patreon.com/bitterbrownfams. You can donate as little or as much as you can, and every tier has a reward. So even if you donate $1, you get a shout out from us on our social media. If you donate like $5, you get early access to episodes as well as an extended version of the episodes. So yeah, consider joining. Again, the link is in our description. And I would specifically like to give a shout out to Dare CT, Nini, Kathleen, Delia, Elizabeth O, Cynthia P, Monica M, Guadalupe F, Christian G, Evelyn P, and Laura R. Thank you all so much. These are all the folks in our BBF, BFF tier. So thank y'all so much. Much love to y'all. Let's start the show.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Fucking thing sucks. 10, 5, 4, 3.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Bitter Brown Fams. This is Ruben.
What's your name?
Ruben, and I'm coming from Los Angeles.
Okay. Hi. Nice to meet you. My name is Cassandra. I'm from El Paso, Texas.
The only social distance podcast that has been social distance since day one.
Pre-COVID, bitches.
Pre-COVID. We're trendsetters. Truly. Truly.
We truly are. Truly.
Yeah.
Even though one of us got COVID, but not from one another.
Truly, you know, you couldn't social distance from the COVID.
Yeah. How are you?
You know, not well, but not dead. So there are ups in every situation. Yeah, we'll go more into what's up with my life in another episode. But for now, if you see my social media is deleted, I just need some time away from constantly being wired to the news and having to worry about notifications. So hopefully in a couple of weeks, I will feel better. And if not, then I guess Twitter and Instagram are digging my account. How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually feeling good. I don't know if it's because it's Aquarius season, so my rising is activated into its powers, and I don't feel like,
Oh, girl.
You know?
Girl.
Yeah, this is like the most energetic and like, quote unquote, happy that I've been in a long time.
This is like the worst I felt in like, since I was like 19. I was showing you that text that I sent a friend where like, you know, a couple weeks before you know, my family experienced like a big tragedy. I had texted my friend and I was like, you know, Venus, Mercury, and the Sun and Saturn and Jupiter are entering Aquarius. Like, I'm scared. And then, you know, shit hit the fan. And all of a sudden my family's a mess. So, yeah. Do you want to go into topics or you want to talk more about your life?
I don't have a life. I hate this question, especially during COVID. I literally do not do anything exciting.
Yeah.
Like,
what are some bitches
nothing
feeling
is happening over here. Nothing is happening.
I don't want to call anybody out or anything, but it's just like, you know what? Let me not be messy. But it's just, okay. It is weird.
We're not messy. We left that in 2020. We're not messy anymore.
No, we are the non-mess podcast. We are unmessy brown fams. That said, some of you bitches, that's some, you know, whatever. Moving on. The inauguration happened. Yeah, the inauguration happened. You know what? First of all, I will talk briefly about something. Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, opened up the state again. And supposedly it's only by like tiers and by county, but it's like, no, bitch, nobody understands that. Everything is literally opening up again. Meanwhile, our hospitals are at 0%, right? Countless prisons. First of all, like, so many, there has been so many preventable deaths, particularly from prisoners.
right, that the governor of California's refusal to take this virus seriously and to prioritize the economy above the people literally pretty much makes him murder. You know, particularly when it comes to in prison folks, like, he could have let, you know, all of them out. Instead, we have a high rate of, like, prison mortality for folks with COVID. And the thing, one thing folks have to understand is that, like, when somebody dies in prison of COVID, that's essentially, like, the state deciding that it wants to give them a death sentence. Like, it is, like, that's what it is. Like, it doesn't care enough to not prioritize their safety, and it's giving them a death sentence. So, yeah, and, you know, that's affected somebody close to me recently, and it's just, when I saw Gavin Newsom open up stuff on Tuesday of this last week of January, I just could not take it. I was like, this fool's gonna cause so much more carnage. And then I remember I was talking to you about this, and then you said that, like, it's weird to hear you talk, to hear me talk about, like, Gavin Newsom open and close things when, like, Texas has been a wreck the whole time.
It's just been open the whole time. Like, there was, like, a fake shutdown. Like, I feel like it wasn't even a shutdown. It was kind of like, we're limiting capacity and, I don't know, we're closing. Like, the schools are closed, but, well, not really. Like, some of the kids have been going to school. So, yeah, I just don't feel like there's been, like, an actual real shutdown to be like, oh, we're shutting down this week or we're not. Like, it's just been consistent the whole time. So yeah, it's just, like, interesting to hear people say, like, we're going on this lockdown or we reopened or whatever, because Texas is a hot-ass mess.
Which brings me to my next point, like, the inauguration. Like, having an inauguration ceremony in, like, COVID times, like, in what mind did it fit for your bitch-ass Joe Biden and company to be like, yeah, let me have a fucking inauguration ceremony. Like, I don't care how many people got tested, I don't care about everything, you still put a shit ton of people's lives at risk that didn't need to be put at risk. Like, bitch, you could have had, like, a at-home inauguration, like, Zoom call party. Like, girl, if the drag queens can make it work for the last fucking year, like, getting their tips on at Twitch and fucking Instagram Live and all that shit, put on quality shows, the president of the United States with an unlimited budget, like, he couldn't fucking figure out how to use the internet. Instead, he had to shut down DC with fucking tanks and shit, and put Jennifer Lopez and Lady Gaga and Bernie Sanders' life at risk. For what? Like, for what? That shit was so embarrassing. Like, inauguration. It was so ugly. And I just think about that picture about, like, when Trump first got inaugurated, of, like, people comparing, like, Obama's inauguration attendance to Trump's. And then I just think about what, like, the conservatives are going to do. Like, oh, look, nobody showed up to Joe Biden's inauguration. Like, what a mess.
No, I agree. It could have just been all televised, like, if you wanted to do all that. Just why? And it was just the most mediocre shit, like, to top it off. I mean, y'all got J-Lo. Fuck out of here.
J-Lo, like, singing this.
J-Lo.
Land is my J-Lo. Land.
Let's get loud.
Let's get loud. The fact that she, like,
get loud. Something, something in Spanish. God bless you all.
Oh my God.
I'm just kidding. I don't know what she said. I know she threw some Spanish in there. I think something about liberty
and justice for
all. Libertad. Something.
Yeah, I mean, right? Yeah, meanwhile, like, Puerto Rico is, like, still under colonization. Like, her bitch ass. God, I was so embarrassed. Like, when she went on, I was like, why did they call her? Like, they don't know other Latinos, like, Latinxes, Latinas that want to sing for this mess? Like, God, literally anyone else than Jenny from the Block who can't hold a fucking note. Like, they should have hired Ashanti, for real. Like, I was preparing for bad singing. And it wasn't even the worst singing. It's just the fact that, like, why does she have to bring in Let's Get Loud? Like, I would have rather her just done, like, On the Floor in its entirety and not try to be patriotic. Just her singing Let's Get Loud out of nowhere. Like, why?
Why? hate that she was so serious about it. Like, I'm just like, that is a note that you were, those are the lyrics. Like, that is what you are, that is the part that you want to scream and sing right now. Like, that let's get loud. Oh my gosh, I hate it.
I hate it here. And then why do they need Katy Perry to sing Firework? Like, why?
She sang Firework?
Yeah,
she was there?
Yeah, at night. Like, I think that's what ended the show or whatever. I just...
What?
Yeah.
I thought it was like a brunch thing.
No, at night she did like a firework performance and the fireworks went off.
What?
And I have friends in DC who were like, they were scared for their life the whole weekend. Because you know what happened? Like, only a little less than 2 weeks.
I thought something was going to happen. Like, after the Capitol situation, I thought something was for sure going to happen. Like, on when I don't know, this happened, the 6th?
Yeah, the 6th. And then on the 20th, it was an inauguration. You know, I have friends who...
And that was another reason to have canceled it, actually. Like, not just, like, the COVID situation, but, like, after what happened at the Capitol, like, you're going to risk, you know, putting people at risk, not just the people there, but, like, as you mentioned, people that live in D.C., specifically, like, Black people, people of color in D.C. that have to see all the, you know, like, I'd be terrified as shit if I lived in D.C. So, yeah, it should not have happened. Like, it was just so unnecessary. Like, yeah, okay, you're the president, fucking send me my money, bitch, and that's it. Like, you don't need to do all that.
Quickly, Joe Biden, $2,000 a month retroactive and student loan forgiveness and healthcare for all, bitch. At the minimum. But my friends in D.C. were like, like, the first firework that went off, they were scared shitless. They were like, oh my God, something's happening. After traumatizing everybody with, like, the checkpoints that they had in D.C., with your tanks everywhere, like, what was the reason, Joe Biden? He's going to email us because he listens to Bitter Brown Femmes. And that's this episode of Bitter Brown Femmes.
So what else happened that day? Lady Gaga? To be honest, I didn't see anything. Like, the only thing I saw was the clips of singing J-Lo Let's Get Loud. Like, I didn't sit down and watch, like, I didn't see Lady Gaga sing. I didn't see, like, J-Lo's full performance at that. like, I didn't really see shit. I just saw, like, the J-Lo clip and I shared it. But yeah, it was just the thing that I obviously everyone saw was like the whole Bernie meme that became like Yahweh, like someone got the tattoo, like y'all are weird. Yeah, like the very next day someone had the tattoo, like, yeah, y'all are weird. I was laughing though at the tweets that were like, y'all put him everywhere except the White House. and it's like, it's funny, but also, you know, we have the Democratic Party to thank for that also. I was just annoyed by the whole thing because it was like this moment in which like liberals wanted to be like, let us have this moment. And I'm like, first of all, no. Period.
They're like, why can't you just let people enjoy things?
Just like for this day, I'm like, no, because that's exactly what we knew y'all were like, wait till he's president. Let's vote him first. Let's vote for him and then we can critique him. And now it's like he's only been there for 2 weeks. We gotta give him time. And like he, you know, it's like this excuse all the time of why we can't fucking critique Biden and Harris and whatever. But anyway, that day, people were just like, let people enjoy things. I'm like, enjoy war criminals? Like, hanging out with each other? Like, y'all are whack as fuck. Like, you all just co-opt. I don't even know if that's, like, it applies here, like, to co-opt terms. Because, you know, enjoy things, it's not co-opting anything. But I don't know what the word is, where it's like, y'all just want to, you just want to say things. Just want to say things that, like, don't mean anything. Let's just say that. But I'm like, I don't know, y'all are weird. And so like the Bernie thing was, I guess it was like funny for a hot second, but then it annoyed me mostly because it just became like, yeah, like instead of talking about, I don't know, like something useful, like fucking critiquing Biden or the administration or I don't know, just anything. It just became like this Bernie meme over and over and over and over and over. And then it became like, I don't know. I don't know my thoughts on that. I was just annoyed. I was just annoyed. But one thing that I was mentioning to Ruben, just a side note, was that one thing, though, about Bernie Sanders, because if you've listened to our episodes, y'all know how I feel about Bernie Sanders, how we feel about Bernie Sanders. But one thing that Bernie Sanders does really well is, like, trigger white women for some reason, like, white feminist. And it's, like, I don't understand. So they're just, like, really threatened by this, like, little white old man, Bernie Sanders. Like, every time he does, it's like, you know, like, white feminists, like, every time Beyonce breathes, they, like, freak the fuck out. And they're like, wow, Beyonce, like, I don't have the same breath as you. How dare you? Like, for some reason, they, like, feel that way about Bernie Sanders. And so, like, when that meme was, or, like, you know, when that whole situation was happening, there was, like, all these tweets of, like, these white women that were, like, I don't even know, like, I have to pull them up, but they were just, like, mad about how he was dressed, or, like, acting like how he didn't want to be there, and somehow it was sexist, and, like...
Oh, yeah, because some of them... the first vice president who's a woman, he's a sexist for not wanting...
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. Meanwhile, that fool has, like, a $100 outfit wearing...
Oh, let me read you some. I found some. Someone said... These are all white women, obviously. I'll admit, the Bernie memes are funny, but his openly grumpy disposition during a very historic moment for women, and particularly women of color, speaks volumes to me. Okay. And then someone else. You know, he was sitting there thinking, oh, I'm not even going to read that. The way he was sitting reminds me of the disappointed looks my dad gives me whenever I'd cook the casserole a minute too long. I knew that if I knew that it was calm before he started screaming and threw the casserole at the door. Like, what, why are you projecting, fuck, like, this trauma onto, like, Sanders?
I remember this one prominent author, Sadie Doyle, what the fucking name is? Sadie Doyle. She wrote Trainwreck and a couple of other, like, quote-unquote feminist books. And she, when Bernie Sanders was in debate, she was like, when Bernie Sanders' tone reminds me of my abusive ex-boyfriend, and I didn't know why my heart palpitations were coming back, but then I talked to my therapist, and that's what she said, that he was probably triggering me and other survivors. And I remember somebody else was like, we need Medicare for all because all you bitches need therapy. Like...
Straight the fuck up. No, yeah, Durian, yeah, they would be like, that he yelled, the way he talks is abusive. Like, someone was like, I talked about Bernie in therapy, and my therapist said other women did too, and she only sees, like, women that have been in abusive relations. Like, I don't even know. I'm just like, what is, like, I already know y'all bitches voted for, like, Warren just by the way that y'all are tweeting. Like, I don't even know.
And the funniest part to me about that whole, like, feminist, like, against Bernie Sanders and for Joe Biden is that, like, Joe Biden has, like, multiple, like, accounts, like, multiple accusations of, like, sexual assault or, like, harassment, right? And they don't say shit about that. But Bernie Sanders is the one that triggers them. Like, that's when you know, like, that liberalism and white feminism is a fucking mess. Like, girl, why don't they talk about that instead? Who was the other one? I think her name is, like, Charlotte Clymer, and she's, like, this, like, trans veteran white woman. And then,
oh, I do not like that person. I do not like her. Like, she's a hot ass mess.
Yeah. And when Biden lifted the trans military ban, somebody was like, you know, Charlotte Clymer is, like, you know, so ready to go out and, like, commit war crimes now or whatever. Like, but she's the worst. Like,
she is the worst. I also saved one from her because I, like, save these, just, like, these terrible takes.
Negativity gets you off in the morning.
It's what wakes me up. I'll find it. No, I know exactly who you're talking about. I am just like, y'all are something else. But yeah, that whole thing, the whole Bernie thing was just annoying. And then those takes made me laugh at the same time because I don't even know. I don't even know what the deal is. with like
why would you put yourself out
okay
like
here's
that
one
to be a mess.
So that person, so Charlotte Clymer,
yeah, I think, or Clymer, I don't know why people mm-hmm. why people sound off in the comments. How do you pronounce that?
I don't know what this is a reference to, but I think it was like when Trump was the only joy we had in 2020 when we thought Trump was going to die for a hot second, those 3 days. I think she was one of those people that were like thoughts and prayers or whatever. But then like someone pulled up one of her tweets, like the original tweet was breaking. Georgia verifies 1,000 new COVID cases in 24 hours. This was like at the beginning of the pandemic. And then she like retweeted it and she put sips coffee because she was one of those people that were like kind of like, oh, that sucks for you, or like you all weren't following this protocol or whatever.
No,
you
she
know,
was, she was
just
she,
like
she also had said or she was quote unquote sipping coffee because she said that like the Georgians like deserved it for voting Republican, essentially.
Oh, is that what it was? Oh, God, I need you all. I need people. I don't even want to have this conversation again about voting because I never want to talk about voting for a hot minute. But it's like not just voting. It's just like this whole thing of people thinking like the South is full of like racist white people versus like a lot of Black Indigenous people of color in the South that have to deal with these racist white people and these fucked up policies while still like fighting back, because a lot of these uprisings that have happened have been from coming from the South. So like people that live like on the East Coast, or I mean sorry, on the West Coast, like, you know, in like quote unquote liberal California, which, you know, people in California can tell you it's not real, there's racists that fucking live there, but anyway, like that think like, you know, we're in the West and so like we're better than people in the South, when it's like, no, the South has given you all a lot, okay? And primarily like Black abolitionists that have been fighting for Black liberation. So anyway, this whole, yeah, just like when people are like, minus Florida, let's talk shit about Florida though.
even just looking at Georgia, like Stacey Abrams busted her ass to like,
yeah, and I bet you like some of her tweets were probably like, yeah, Stacey, like go Georgia, and then in the same breath like, oh, I'm so glad Georgians are dying of COVID, like fuck, just, oh my God, just a hypocrite. But anyway, sorry, yeah. Those people on Twitter, like, that day was just, like, a preview to, like, just, like...
What's to come? Literally of what's to come. Like...
What?
I mean, literally, they were, like, reforming George Bush at the fucking inauguration. Oh, they were, like, George Bush and Michelle Obama are besties forever.
TBH, they've been doing that for a while now. Like, the whole Obama... Like, the whole Bush thing, because people started comparing him to Trump. And that's what we have talked about before. Like, you know, somewhere down the line, Trump is going to be welcomed at these things. Is going to be like, oh, Trump and Kamala Harris are best friends or whoever. You know, like, haha, so cute. And I'm like, are y'all forgetting George Bush is a war criminal? And not just George Bush, but also, like, Obama. And also, like, if we're going to talk about Michelle Obama says, like, the exact same shit Obama does. Like, she has said things like that we're to blame for not voting, like
when Trump, when she said she was disappointed in Black people,
yeah, like the same things that like Obama has said. So it's like, why? And that's why those tweets that were like, let us enjoy this, I'm like, enjoy what? What are you all enjoying? Like seeing George Bush and Michelle Obama like hug? Like, what is it that you're enjoying right now? And it's, like, a lot of, what I noticed was a lot of the people, like, during election season, like, particularly that I've seen on my feed, right, that I follow or on Twitter, Instagram, that were all about, like, yeah, abolition, Black Lives Matter, like, fuck the police, like, whatever, like, I'm gonna vote for Biden because I have to, like, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, they're like, oh, you know, well, we should be at least, you know, like, just, like, did a whole 180, which is not surprising, but I'm just like, okay, like, there was this picture of Biden, I guess he posted it, of him kissing his wife. And I had, like, people were just, like, resharing it. They're like, oh, my God, a president who loves his wife. And I'm like, why is the bar in hell right now? Like, what does that, like, who the fuck cares? Like, I hate, like, oh my God. Because it went from, like, you know, we're forced to vote for Biden. Like, I don't want to vote for Biden, but we have to do it because it's, like, the lesser of two evils because we want to kick Trump out. Like, I know he's a rapist. I know he's a racist. And, like, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden now they're like, well, oh, he loves his wife. Well, you know, like, there's a difference between, like, okay, you fucking voted for Biden. A lot of fucking people did because they felt like they had to. Okay, whatever. But there's, like, a difference in that, and then there's a difference in, like, you actually praising him and, like, liking him and, like, sharing his shit. Like, he's great, you know? So anyway, I'm glad I didn't vote for him. And I'll say it. I'll say it for the next 4 fucking years, all right?
Oh, yeah. I can, you know, yeah. I mean, we said it initially. We said it again. This is a no Joe Biden zone. So, yeah, no, we didn't vote for him. And again, we don't live in swing states, so there you have that. And again, we voted for the things that we needed to, and that was that. So, suck it. The thing with Joe Biden and people making a big deal out of, like, you know, oh, he kissed his wife, like, you know, we love that type of president, is that, like, people are... Liberalism teaches people to like politicians for their personality first. And then because they are convinced to like someone for their personality, they then have to justify liking them. Like have to justify like the fucked up shit that they passed because they like them so much. Right? So, you know, who cares if Joe Biden like, you know, doesn't want to, you know, liberate all, you know, immigrants, blah, blah. Like, he loves his wife, and that's already a lot, right? It just reminds me about how, like, you know, like, stan culture, you know, like, the practice of people uncritically loving, like, a certain artist, right? Like, how, you know, the Little Monsters love Lady Gaga and they will defend her shitty Joanne album, even though it was shitty. And they were saying, this is the peak of art. So it's kind of like that, but with politicians. And instead of albums, it's laws.
Policies.
Yeah, policies.
Their careers. Do we call it careers when they're politicians? Like their,
yeah, their political careers.
Careers.
And so to me, and that always is just so rooted in like capitalism and like, With artists in this example, like it comes down to like building your identity around consumption, right? Because if the thing that you like, if let's say again, going back to Lady Gaga, if the thing that you like, Lady Gaga, who, oh yeah, now that I think of it, she was supporting Joe Biden and even sang the national anthem despite claiming to be a advocate for sexual assault survivors. But I digress. If you like Lady Gaga and your whole identity revolves around her, when she does something fucked up, you are inclined to defend it because you're inclined to think, oh my God, if she does something fucked up and I love her with my whole being and my whole life revolves around her, that means that I'm fucked up and that can't be real. And so then you bend over backwards to defend her. And, you know, when it comes to politics, people bend over backwards to defend, you know, war criminals and racists and shit like that, right? So... those are things that I think about when I think about how folks react to the inauguration. And that brings me to other types of idolization, like with Cesar Chavez, right? Joe Biden put the bust of Cesar Chavez in his office and people were going apeshit. Like all the Latino celebrities were like, finally, a president that respects Latinos and Latinxes, and this is so progressive. And I'm like, bitch, we're still fucking being held in captivity. Black people remain the most incarcerated, and among them, of course, are Afro-Latinx people. Like, having a bust of someone is just a symbolic gesture without actual action behind it, right? In his first 100 days, no, in the first day in office, Joe Biden did sign a moratorium on deportations for queer and trans deportees, but, you know, that's not enough. Like, the point is to, like, why are they there in the first place, right? Like, the point is to liberate them and to not have that be a thing for people. So while it's great that he did that and we're happy that folks aren't getting deported right now, like, we still want them to get the, like liberated. So when we celebrate little nothings like a bust on a desk, we give these politicians the power to do nothing, right? They see that as like, oh, they should be happy with this bust. Like, meanwhile, like, none of us are thinking critically about the fact that, like, Cesar Chavez didn't like immigrants for most of his fucking life. It wasn't, I mean, you can look up interviews. There's one interview with KQED where Cesar Chavez talks about how, like, you know, immigrants who work for the grape companies and shit are like scabs, right? And that's why he doesn't think they should be coming over. Like, shit like that. Like, and his it's well documented. Like, that's just one instance of him being public about it, right? So folks really have to think about, like, why they hold Cesar Chavez up to such a high standard, and why is it that politicians, like, gravitate towards that? And I think you'll find that the answer is that, like, Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta, like, they work within the system, right? And in a way that advantages folks who are willing to go along with the project of assimilation, right? And who are willing to throw, you know, the most marginalized under the bus, you know, which in this case immediately means immigrant folks, undocumented folks.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't know if we've ever had a conversation about Cesar Chavez on here. I know we've talked about Dolores Huerta, but I don't think we've actually ever talked fully about Cesar Chavez and how, you know, I don't even know if problematic is the right word, because calling Border Patrol on people is a lot more than quote-unquote problematic. I'm sure, I don't know. It's like, I don't know if harmful. We've mentioned it.
Like, yeah.
It's like violent, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not even the only thing. Like, you know.
Yeah, no.
He like, sided with, like, a dictator in the Philippines who was anti-worker. He supported this rehab center, you know, in the States, which basically set the standard for abusive practices in rehab centers we know today. Like, you know, his legacy is not what we think it is. It's like, yeah, he fought for labor rights, and that is important, but without an internationalist perspective, we fail to see that he fought for very specific groups' labor rights, not even for the original marginalized group that gave him his platform, which was the Filipino folks, led by Larry Itlion. He couldn't even have the decency to give them credit for beginning the movement. Like, there's this shit that goes on and on and on like that.
Yeah. My favorite thing was... And I don't know if people saw the tweet, but it was like, you know, that people were sharing, like, the picture of, like, oh, that's Cesar Chavez's head, like this, like a statue thing. And someone was like, no, that's Eleanor Roosevelt. Anyway, that made me laugh. Anyway. So that all happened. And that was just the one day. That all happened in one day. And it was a hot mess.
A part of me, like, for half a second was like, oh, Michelle Obama was really fierce looking at the inauguration. Like, so I'm not even going to pretend like I didn't have, like, liberal feelings in the moment. Like, it's just about, like, I don't know, combating the liberal within you. That reminds me of the cost. This fucking inauguration was expensive as shit. And not only was it expensive as shit already, but then Joe Biden was still asking for more money. Like, he was fundraising for a more extravagant inauguration. Meanwhile, that motherfucker won't even give us a cut of the check for shit. Like, people have been unemployed for months. Like, the audacity. Like, the disconnect. The Lucille Bluth of it all. I just think of what could have been done with all that money if he would have just had a Zoom call inauguration. But this whole thing is about ego and about showmanship and power. Like, it isn't about, like, uniting America or whatever the fuck. It is literally about showing other nations and showing marginalized people, like, who's boss.
Which brings us again to, like, where is our money? But now they are saying that it's going to be, what is it, 1,400?
Yeah.
that, and then plus you put that plus the 600 that I still haven't fucking gotten.
Wait, we were supposed together. To get
600.
Was that real?
Yeah, people already got that.
Fucking bitches.
we're like, we haven't gotten shit, but we're supposed to take that, and then that's supposed to equal 2,000. So pretty much they're like 600 plus 1,400 is the 2,000 we promised you, which the 600 went out technically under Trump's presidency. So technically you haven't sent a shit.
What else has happened since the inauguration, since the inaugurees?
Nothing.
God.
I mean, just like the whole every day, I'm so annoyed because my local news, every day they post a new article. They're like, stimulus checks, where are we? Like every single day, like, bitch, they're not coming. Stop making us click into this. Like, like you got some fucking new news. I think the only thing that we also mentioned was like the vaccine situation, which is like, why can't we get it fucking together? Like, what is happening? Why is it so fucking hard for this country to do something like the correct way? There's been a lot of articles that I've seen about a lot of different cities of particularly like Black and like Latinx communities where the people that are receiving the vaccines are white people, when we all know that COVID is attacking Black and Latinx indigenous communities like the most, right? And then I stop and think, and I'm like, these white people are probably like the same white people that are just out there, because, you know, reports, I don't think we need studies or reports, but we know also that the number one group of people that refuse to wear masks is white people. The number one people, I think this happened, I don't know where, in California, maybe LA, Ruben, I'm not sure if you've heard. Yeah, it was at the Dodger Stadium that like a group of people showed up to protest the vaccine, and so they had to shut it down. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't, but I believe you. Yeah. I mean, I went to, the one time I went out to get coffee, because I was like, I need to get out of my house, I need to find a reason to get out of my house. I went to Starbeezy, and there was just like a white person there, just like mask off, fully, like eating something, and I'm just like, I am about to fucking go off. I would have been on World Star or something, like. And then I was like, no, keep it together and just get your shit and leave. But like, what is, I think about a lot of things with this vaccine. Like, I'm a very many heads. I think about how I have, like, I know people who are scared because of the history of like sterilization and genocide, right, that the US medical field has, right? And I understand that. I also have folks who are completely, unfortunately, part of my family and like have fallen into like the QAnon bullshit or like QAnon, like conservative, you know, conservative bullshit, Fox News, Candace Owens type of Joe Rogan bullshit. Like, they have completely fallen into that trap, and they're under the impression that, you know, the vaccine is done for population control. And I see a lot of this hesitation. And then another part of me is like, I understand not the conservative side of things about population control. I understand like people whose fears of like genocide and things like that. And then I think about the fact that like, if they wanted to fucking kill us, like, they would have been rolling this shit out faster, A. And like, B, they're already like, you know, poverty's already a fucking slow killer. Like, systemic racism's already a slow killer. Like, a part of me, yeah, is super worried about all the things that we should be worried about with this vaccine. Another part of me is like, if these bitches wanted to fucking off me, they could have done it already.
But
I don't, do you agree? Okay. I was like, am I wrong? I mean, if I...
No, I mean, we could be wrong, but it's just like, I get it. I get people, like, we've already discussed, like, we didn't want to get into this whole thing, but, you know, I understand people's, it's the fucking government, it's the US government to be specific, so why the fuck would we trust them, especially given their history with vaccines, with medical negligence, with genocide, with, like, everything, right? Like, I get it. I do. But sign me the fuck up. I've been trying to get me personally, sign me the fuck up. Like, I'm trying to get on that shit. And I'm also trying, you know, I'm trying to be like, let the people who need it the more than me, right? Like elderly people, people who are sick, people, you know, the essential workers, et cetera, disabled folks.
That reminds me that in California, they took disabled folks off of the priority list. And now they fall into, if you have an immediately recognized precondition, and then you get a priority. But if not, you just go by age, essentially. And then I have some disabled friends who don't necessarily have, like, they don't have respiratory failure, right? They suffer from, you know, some of them have colostomy bags and things like that. And that leaves them open to infection and shit like that. So this doesn't necessarily make sense that they would push them back to age. Just because they're young doesn't mean that they're not in danger, right? So I just, I'm so angry.
Yeah. I mean, for me, more than, yeah, obviously I want the vaccine, but for me, I'm also like, I just, it's because of my child that I, for me personally, that I want to try to get it, but I'm also trying to be like, okay, chill. You know what I mean? Because here in El Paso, too, it's been like, I guess they're limited and then you have to sign up. And then I know a lot of people sign up and they don't even get a call back. And it's just been like that way for a lot of people. So, like I said, hand it over to Whataburger, hand it over to Starbucks. I saw some article that was like in Washington that they were literally like, we got to, we're talking about like doing it at Starbucks. Like to hand out, and I'm like, that would be amazing. Let's go. Let's fucking go. Get me my coffee and my vaccine. Like through the drive-thru. Let's do that.
Straight up. Starbucks vaccine. Wasn't somebody at the Dodger Stadium Disneyland signed up to be a vaccination site?
Disneyland needs to. I'm sick of them.
Disneyland.
I don't even know why the. How are they open? How are they allowed to be open? Well, like, why are y'all trying to go to Disneyland and pay that much money when I wouldn't even be able to enjoy myself? Like, when I go anywhere with a mask on, even if it's just like in and out of a fucking grocery store, like I hate it. Like I feel uncomfortable. Like I don't feel. You know what I mean? Like I'm like, in and out. Like, let's not get COVID, and then I'm wearing, like, a mask, because, you know what I mean? Like, why would you, I mean, same with the bars, even though, or when you're going out to eat, for example, but especially Disneyland, because it's, like, you have to pay a lot of money, and then you're wearing a mask, and it's, like, not, and then you're probably in the back of your head are, like, I'm probably gonna get COVID after this, like, how is that enjoyable to anybody? Especially taking your kids. Like, I don't understand. A lot of you are... I don't understand any of you.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get it either. Like, why not literally do anything else? Literally fucking anything else. Girl, pay for Disney Plus. Girl, order a social distance, like... like Mono to come to your house. I just think about, you know, that vine of like that Elsa character showing up to a kid's birthday party and then like twerking.
Twerking. I love that video so much.
I would fucking donate a sibling for a minute long version of that.
I love it. I'm gonna get that for Lucas' next birthday party.
Oh God. But yeah. Oh God, Disney. Oh, that reminds me, you know what else has happened? The stock market, like...
Oh, we forgot about the stock market situation. It's someone in my... on Twitter, kind like I said, you know, I had posted that GIF of, like, Michael Scott when he's like, please explain this to me like I'm five. Because I was, like, reading it and I was like, I don't understand. And y'all know I do not understand math. I hate numbers, anything. Like, I'm just, like... understand what's happening. Like, I understand the gist of what's happening, but if you ask me for details and to explain it, I will not be able to. But I had posted that, and someone in the comments was like implying that we were gonna go over this in Bitter Brown Femmes, and I'm like, if we are not gonna explain that to you, like, I am not, like, if y'all thought we were gonna research this shit and explain it to y'all. I'm sorry, we did not. I still don't get it. Like I said, I understand like the gist of it, which is like, okay, what I understand is that capitalism is shit and that, you know, rich people are trash. And I get it. I get that. I get like that the, you know, the poor guys on Reddit, you know, did some shit and played them at their own game. And now the rich people are mad. And now they're like, they can't do that. Like, I get that. I get all of that. But I don't, if you ask me to explain stocks and the short, whatever that shit's called, like, I have no fucking idea.
Okay. But that reminds me of like the fucking irony of like naming your fucking... Oh, because after the gamers bought all that stock and like they, you know, shitted on the rich people, Robinhood decided to close. Like, you can no longer buy GameStop at stocks. And after that, like, they changed the rules around like buying. And it's like, that's bullshit. Like, Robinhood like gave from the rich. I mean, took from the rich to give to the poor. And these people are taking from the poor to give to the rich. Because the reason that Robinhood is free is because they take your data, like the stuff, it's like Facebook, they take your data. So they take the data on the stuff you buy and they sell it to rich people so they know how to trade better or they know what to buy or whatever, right? Or sell. So anyway, the Robinhood is a mess. You know, the gamers won for a short time. I hope that they, you know, reap the benefits of their shit. Otherwise, a lot of people might be fucked. But yeah.
Yep. So, rolling on to 2021, what we learned in 2020, again, capitalism is shit and rich people are trash.
Straight up.
You know, Occupy Wall Street made some points looking back now. They made some points. A little messy, but they made it.
Oh, they were trying to. They were horribly messy, but...
Horribly messy, but the... It was there. The heart was there.
There was an intent.
There was an intent. It was there. yeah. So I forgot that happened. Yeah. I didn't have a lot of commentary on it other than that because I was like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening. I think that's all that's happened.
Yeah.
So thus far.
Yeah, and before we wrap up this episode, we're going to take a short break.
So Planned Parenthood right now wants you to know about their telehealth services, which means their services that you can access through like the telephone or through video. So if you don't like sitting in a waiting room right now, Planned Parenthood's got you covered as a leader in new technologies to provide high quality healthcare in ways that fit your life, right? So if you don't want to wait around in a waiting room, especially right now because COVID is scary, and leaving the house, you know, it's a struggle for a lot of us. So through Planned Parenthood's virtual appointment, you can get high quality and affordable care your way by phone or video. Trusted providers will listen, give information, and support you in all your healthcare decisions. Planned Parenthood's telehealth appointments are high quality, affordable, and private. Whether you need help with birth control, a prescription refill, or other sexual or reproductive care services, you gotta skip the waiting room and get the care you need when you need it. Planned Parenthood takes the stress out of healthcare and is ready when you are. Check plannedparenthood.org/BBF to learn more and book a virtual appointment today. That's plannedparenthood.org/BBF. All right, let's get back to the show.
All right, and we are back from our break. Did you want to wrap it up with talking about the thing that made you less bitter recently?
I don't know if it's one specific thing that's made me less bitter. I've just been in a good mood, I think, again, because of Aquarius season and it's my rising, so it's just been, like, giving me energy, I don't know, to be upbeat. I've also been buying shit online, so I was telling Ruben, in 2020, like, I just felt like I didn't do anything. Obviously, like, I was at home, but I'm saying, like, I remember seeing everyone, like, during the first month, like, I am buying all this stuff online. I'm like, how? Like, I don't have a job. And even then, like, what would I buy right now? I'm not even going anywhere. You know, like, what else has been making me? I haven't done anything. Just that I've been buying stuff. And it's not even buying stuff. I think I've just been in, like, an upbeat mood. So, yeah, nothing specific. Nothing specific on my end. Yeah. What about you? And I know you're like going through some tough times, so it's like a, I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
Question right now.
I mean,
but...
yeah. I hate to say this, but RuPaul's Drag Race is really helping me through this mourning period. Like, girl, I have watched drag queens do everything in like the last 2 weeks. Like, not only on the show, like lip syncing. Like, first of all, like Denali Fox on US's RuPaul's Drag Race. Like, she's not gonna win. I know that. But she's so fierce. And she's so political. Like, she's like this like Mexican drag queen of like Tigua descent. And her lip sync performances to If You Seek Amy, 100% Pure Love by Crystal Waters, already iconic. Then she did this performance on ice skates to Pussycat Dolls' When I Grow Up. Iconic. Like, Denali Fox is an icon. Deserves so much more than she's getting on that show. Literally everyone on that show who is not certain people who will remain unnamed because I want to contribute to the bullying. Quote-unquote bullying. But, you know, there's folks like Utica Queen and Denali Fox and Olivia Lux who deserve so much more praise on that show, but the producers have like a certain, like the top four, like the winners of the Drag Race competition are decided before people get there, and so producers just have to make the story work, and they just don't favor the people that I like. So I'm sad for them, but I like that they're bringing me joy in their performances and the art that they make. Like, Utica Fox made this gown that she's pretending to be like a doll that had too much yarn attached to her, and so her dress takes up like my whole living room, and in her chest she put like a cavity that she can remove. Like, she put a pin and then she can remove that pin and take out her heart, and it's like, she, yeah, it's so like gruesome, but it's so beautiful. Like, yeah. So RuPaul's Drag Race, the drag queens from it, not RuPaul himself, that's a whole other discussion. Like, about, mm-hmm. like, his, you know, her anti-blackness and her just liberalism and transphobia. Like, the drag queens that she has given a platform to have really brightened up my day.
That's awesome. I saw this this TikTok that went, like, viral, apparently. And it was here in El Paso, and it was, like, this little girl. She's probably, like, 5 or 4, and she wanted a drag queen for her birthday. And so the local drag queen went to have, like, to give this little girl, like, just a performance just for her outside of her house for her birthday. And it's, like, the cutest shit. Yeah, it was super cute. I'm like, aw. Like, and, you know, the caption, you know, her mom, the little girl's mom was the one who uploaded it. And she's like, when your daughter asks you for a drag queen for her birthday, you get it for her. And I'm like... I want Luca to ask me for a drag queen. I will book that shit right now. Like, fuck clowns. Let's book local drag queens.
You know, I've been thinking about, like, we can have, like, a local, like, a monthly, like, karaoke night or something for folks. And then, yeah, that's drag queen,
like,
related.
During
mm-hmm. right now that everybody, because you love
lip. Well, we tried that when we were drunk.
But, like, a more official thing.
Yeah, I miss karaoke so much.
I miss clubs. I miss being...
I miss drinking. I haven't drank a gin and tonic in, like, it feels like a year now.
Girl, you know they sell gin at the store, right?
Like, let's get slutty. Like that meme, the Bugs Bunny meme.
I've been wanting to dress up. That's my thing.
I know they sell gin. The other day when I went to go buy beer, I was like, let me make my own. But I was like, honestly, should I do all that right now? And I was like, let me just get my beer.
You know, in the UK.
So.
In the UK, this.
I just want someone to make it for me. I just want to go to a bar and order a gin tonic and watch people karaoke. Like, that's literally all I want to fucking do. It's all I want to do for my birthday. That's all I'm looking forward to.
You mean, aren't the karaoke bars open still?
I'm not going to go do that right now.
What's a little COVID? I'm just playing.
You get a little COVID as a treat.
all for you to sing some Nickelback, some Creed, some Stained.
Yeah, I'm officially old because there's like new artists that I'm just like, I don't know who this is. Like, and you know, that's fine. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know them.
I mean, growing up, like, I thought the 80s were like so far behind. And I'm realizing now that like the early 2000s and like the 90s are like so foreign to kids these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And like I...
Yeah, a lot of these videos, oh my God. Every time I say these things, I sound like one of those like boomers that like hate on the new generation. So I hate saying it. But let me just say this. A lot of those fucking... Oh my God. Whenever there's like... I don't know if you've seen these TikTok videos where like they're like, how many emo songs do you know? And I'm like, none of these songs are emo. What is this? Like, someone said Evanescence was emo, and I'm just like, can y'all stop? Like, Evanescence has never been emo. They're like military rock, if we're gonna put them in some fucking genre. Like,
Creed is a military. I was the person military that military rock.
No, they're not military rock. They're dad. That's rock. Like there's that's a difference. Thin line. Yeah, there is a thin line, but there's a difference. But neither of them are emo, is what I'm saying. And a lot of these... Let me stop, because you know what? Yeah, I was that person in high school that called people posers. That was me.
Straight up. I see it.
I was the gatekeeping bitch.
I mean, you still are.
And I still am. And so when I see these videos, I'm like, just smile. Just scroll. Just keep scrolling. You're old. Get over it. But anyway.
I think...
Just had to throw that out there.
Yeah, no, I think when did I was thinking about how like when Erykah Badu versus Jill Scott, the versus battle happened, like kids like were like, who the fuck is this person? Like blah, blah, blah. Or like they had sampled like a Jill Scott verse on this, on like Glee, I think it was. And they're like, that's the only place where I know Jill Scott. And I'm like, you are so an embarrassment child. Like the ways in which these women are legends, even though Erykah Badu is problematic as fuck. But, yeah, and I was also thinking about how, like, early, like, 2000s, like, hip-hop and R&B is, like, and, like, pop and all those sounds, like, they're, like, a decade away from being oldies, girl. Because if Motown was already an oldies station in the 90s, that's only, like, 30 years of a difference. And so, by the end of the 2020s, like... Nelly's Hot in Here is going to be an oldie.
Oh my God. It is. When I think about these songs, and like, oh my God, it's just so funny. Like, I picture myself being like 60 years old and like listening, I don't know, to the shit I listened to in high school. Like, I'm going to be like, I'm going to be 60, like picking up Luca and being like, I mean, no, I mean, I'm 60. He's like already married and shit probably. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how old I'm going to be when he's 18. I don't want to do math right now, y'all. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be, like, taking him and his little friends to the movies, and I'm going to be jamming out to, like, I don't know, Silverstein or, like, New Found Glory and My Chemical Romance. And, like, it's... I was literally going to tweet something about Yellow Card today. It's so weird. For those who listen to Yellow Card, I'm sorry, but, like, Way Away is a better song than Ocean Avenue. Anyway, but...
I love Ocean Avenue.
The point is...
Literally yesterday, I like, you know, I was like trying to get my mind out of things, and I went to the like to the beach like at 8:00 in the morning. Dangerous, by the way, but whatever. Like, I was like, I want to play Ocean Avenue by Yellow Card. And literally.
Of course you would. I feel like that's such an LA song. Like all the LA bitches are like, fuck yeah, Ocean Avenue straight for up. Sure. Let me go take a picture.
The funny thing is that it was written about Florida. But the band was like...
Is it Florida?
No. The band is from Florida, but they were living in LA. And so they were writing about their experiences in LA, reminiscing about Florida. They're just... Yeah. But yeah, it's a very LA song. Very LA, Long Beach.
Yeah, it is a very LA.
I feel like they played it in like The Hills or those Lauren Conrad shows that... You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The Real OC.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Anyway... Yeah, I don't know. I just think, and then when I listen to those songs, I feel like they haven't aged. Like, I don't feel like, I'm this old-ass bitch listening to this music. I just feel like how I felt always. And then when I think about it, I'm like, you know, it is like, this is, music is so old. Like, Like, who the fuck is listening to, like, if someone who's never heard this music, like, caught me listening to this, like, they'd be like, what is this? Like, you're some old... Stop it.
But keeping it real, like, keeping it 100, like, the music hasn't really aged because the sound continues to be replicated.
That is like, true. Which I was about to ask you. So I saw this tweet that said something like, oh, like, we as, like, older, I don't know what the wording was exactly, but it was pretty much like, if you're older, like, you kind of, I guess, stop talking shit or critiquing, like, new music, like, that's coming out because, you know, it's probably just not for you, right? Like new music, new artist, or that the kids are listening to, like, we're probably like, oh, this, like, why do you like this? This is, like, whack or whatever. But it's, like, it's not for us, right? People were, like, retweeting it. And then my friend's like, no, good music is timeless. And I was like, points were made also. And I'm like, I could see both. Like, I feel like, you know, every generation is different. But I also feel like within generation, it's not like you have one. This is, like, the one genre, you know? I think, like, when I was in high school, like, there was a lot of music, you know what I mean? Like, I particularly listened to punk and emo, but I also, like, listened to, like, what was on the radio, which was, like, pop or, you know, hip-hop and R&B, and I liked it too. So to say, like, this one artist defines this whole generation is kind of weird.
Yeah, like, I am like, a Megan Thee Stallion, Flo Milli, Cardi B, Saweetie, Rico Nasty, Stan. Like, those girls are really turning it out, and they're, like, young as shit. Meanwhile, Billie Eilish, I cannot stand maybe just the Bad Guy song, but then he got overplayed and that's it. Like, that is not the wave. Like, so it's not even about, like, a generational thing. It's just really about, like, I don't think my music taste evolved to, like, that type of, like, lo-fi, like, shit. Except for lo-fi beats to chill and study to. Those are eternal. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know that. Oh, yeah. So that pretty much wraps up like what made us less bitter, but turn into this whole conversation about music, which we always like tie or come back to. But before we go, I did want to say thank you so much to everyone who purchased our merch. We've sold out of a lot. I still have some. I'll make a new post. I have to keep, you know, making new posts just because we don't have a website.
Well, we do. It just hasn't been updated for a minute.
Yeah. Well, we do. We just chose not to do all that. We probably will next time, maybe. I still will post like what we have left if some of y'all missed it and want to get some, but to those who have already purchased it, thank you so much. We appreciate it and we hope you like it, and we will have more in the future.
Yeah, and tag us soon. Sporting the shirts and the totes and yeah. The caps, if you were one of the lucky
someone that took the, no one has tagged us in the caps. I know they were very limited, but like I haven't seen anyone tag us in the caps, so that would be cool.
Maybe the feds bought them all.
Because I feel like yeah, they bought them all and like they gave me fake information. But yeah, now I know, you know, I shipped them all, me personally, and it was for a hot minute I was overwhelmed because I was like, what the fuck am I doing? But now I know what the fuck I'm doing, and me and the guy at the post office are best friends now. So yeah. Work. Anyway, shout out to me.
Shout out to Cassandra, yes.
For sending, I send those shit. If you haven't gotten it, please email me, but I feel like everyone got it pretty quickly because, as I said, I've been buying stuff online and some of these bitches take like 2 weeks to even send me a thing that's like, it's been shipped.
Wow.
And
the USPS yeah, has been working like, overtime wow. During COVID, Cassandra.
No, it's not the USPS. It's them. I'm saying like, they don't like when I take it the next day. And then, you know, from when it's in their hands, it's in their hands. But I'm saying like people that I've bought stuff from haven't even like shipped my shit out, like period.
Call out
and
small
I'm just
businesses,
like, what?
Drag them.
Call out Instagram small businesses. This is for at. Just kidding.
But thank you for supporting us, and yeah, we really can't wait to see you in the merch. Like, I love seeing y'all rocking it and just like repping. And every time y'all post the merch, y'all always say some kind words. So Those are always really appreciated. So thank y'all immensely.
I can't wait to see one of them at the Goodwill
one. Oh my god.
Just kidding. Maybe. You never I don't know. I just think someone, I don't know, that doesn't know who we are would see that at like the thrift store and they'd be like, huh, I guess I'll buy that for $3. That sounds, I don't know who the fuck these bitches are, but I'll wear it. Oh my god. That'd be great.
They would probably like the front that says like Femmes Against Fascism. And then they would be like, let me just put like a jean vest over the back so you don't see these people's faces. And then it just says Femmes Against Fascism in the front pocket.
Yeah. But anyway, we shall return soon.
Thank y'all for joining us once again. Make sure to follow us on all social media at Bitter Brown Femmes or Bitter B Femmes. And yeah, y'all are freaking amazing. So thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.
All right, before we leave, I do want to give a shout out to all of our I Know Her Level patrons. That includes Raul S, Pauli D, Selena P, Sara, Tatel, Natasha B, Brenda C, Ames T, Amy M, Layla G, Griselda M, Lisbeth K, Sara M, Karina C, Yulisa, Chrissy J, Jacqueline A, Clara P, Gianna R, Marisol L, Miguel B, Nancy M, Valentina R, Yasmin, Jocelyn D, Vanessa, Alana F, Erica A, Justine, Magdalena S, Ronnie L, Linda M, Bianca G, Kimberly B, Jen A, Cassandra G, and Abigail and Aranya forever. All right, sending y'all a ton of love. Thank y'all for supporting us on Patreon. And if you want to support us again, you can visit the link in our description or visit Bitter Brown Femmes or visit patreon.com/bitterbrownfemmes. All right, have a good day.